This sleeping giant has woken up. The head of women's football at Football Australia has said she believes the World Cup is a turning point for the game. Sarah Walsh also said she expects Ireland to qualify for the next round. Earlier in Group B this morning, much earlier, with a 3:30 a.m. kickoff, Ireland's next opponents, Canada and Nigeria, drew nil-all. Speaking to our reporter Samantha Librari in Sydney today, Sarah Walsh first gave reaction to yesterday's 1-0 loss to the hosts Australia.
We always knew that we were going to have to break them down. And I've always actually said, I've watched a lot of their matches, their last 10 matches, and they rarely lose by more than one or two. They might not win games, but you're not going to score a flurry of goals against them. And that makes it difficult for our team because we like to score lots of goals, have it free-flowing. Even the USA, they had some good results. They lost, but they were close. So I knew, we all knew that that was going to be the similar game. And I think Nigeria and Canada know as well. And so when you're chasing points in the second and third match, it's going to make it very interesting, but I do think they'll go through. With all due respect to Nigeria and Canada, they both like to play free-flowing games, and it is not going to be the case with Ireland. Ireland know who they are, and they know how to play that way.
What did you all make of Katie McCabe?
Oh, she is a very quality player, hard worker. I mean, she's equal parts hardworking, you know, technical. She's a visionary. She's a leader in that team. Honestly, I think any national team would absolutely love to have her, and it's quite great because you can build a team around her, and I think Ireland have very much done that. She's, you know, it's obvious that you're going to play down the left, but she still manages to break through and create really dangerous moments for Australia, and I think she's going to be very dangerous going forward for Ireland.
You know, this team have come from a place where 5 years ago they were given back their tracksuits and toilets to the Federation, and they asked for better treatment, and they've come on a long journey. It's a story replicated across women's football for many of the teams here. Talk to me about the progress of the Matildas and what other federations can learn from what you've done over the past decade or so.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of change over the years, and a really good conversation about the role of a federation, also the leagues at the moment, in creating good paying conditions for players. And we obviously have gender equity with our Socceroos and Matildas now. Back in 2019, that was negotiated, and we've moved on from then and worked out how we actually create an environment for the Matildas that meets the needs of these women as individuals and as a collective, separate to the Socceroos. And that's, you know, sometimes that looks different, whether it's a parental policy. And we are continually looking to evolve both of our national teams, and sometimes that looks different. And that's what I love about the potential for women's sport. We shouldn't be adopting what we do on the men's and women's. From a principle point of view, it should always be equity. So I think there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of countries that have still got a long way to go. We're pleased to see that FIFA are starting to tag funding, particularly for prize money and player payments, which is a really good thing. But we're super proud of our players and the advocacy that they take on globally, and we'll always back our players.
Is it frustrating to see so many teams still struggling for those kind of equality for terms and conditions in a tournament? And also, do you think that this tournament is a turning point for the women's game?
Well, I think I'll touch on your last question. I think this is a turning point for how we're moving beyond talking about that. Women's football, there's, you know, the economics aren't there. This is going to be the tournament where we commercialise women's football. Not only did we break even, FIFA break even in delivering it, that we actually woke up not only New Zealand and Australia and the region of OFC and AFC, but all parts of the world. The conversations around broadcast and FIFA holding strong around not underselling rights, we're starting to have commercial conversations. And so it makes me very proud that we're hosts of the tournament that did that. It'll be the biggest. It'll be 1.5 attending, 1.5 million. We're expecting 2 billion to watch it. This sleeping giant has woken up. And, I was part of the 2007 World Cup, where it was about getting football on the pitch and getting the countries, you know, to buy in. And we've just moved so far beyond that. And to your first question, yeah, I think that the reality is a lot of confederations and parts, regions of the globe, as it turns out, you know, they're underdeveloped in terms of investment and, you know, the way in which they've built muscle around their women's teams. And I think we've got a long way to go. And I know FIFA are watching that very closely, hence why they're starting to create mechanisms like tagging funding to create these good behaviours in parts of the world.
Finally, the Matildas are the host nation. There's an awful lot of pressure on you in this tournament. Do you think they can go all the way?
Well, I think they're just going to take one game at a time, and that's probably the way in which they should. I know that they very much weren't looking past Ireland last night, and our entire three-year preparation was very much based around that. So now they'll be looking to Nigeria, and they'll have a game plan for that.
And that was Sarah Walsh, the head of women's football at Football Australia, with our reporter Sam Libreri in Sydney. World Cup coverage continues on RTE2 television and the RTE News channel. Ireland's next game on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And over 500,000 TV viewers watched yesterday's game on RTE2. It was the biggest live event of the year so far, with 360,000 streams on the RTE player.